No matter what else happens in the midterm elections, Massachusetts will be getting a new congressperson because Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas is not seeking re-election in the 3rd Congressional District. Her decision has created perhaps the most competitive and certainly the most crowded congressional field in the state. The 10 Democrats in the race are now running hard toward Election Day, which is less than 4 weeks away. To get a taste, we speak now with Lowell Sun reporter Chris Lisinski, who's covering the race closely. Hi, Chris. Thanks for speaking to Morning Edition.
Hi, Bob. Thanks so much for having me on.
So, Chris, with time running out for all of them, which candidates seem to have the edge and why?
You know, Bob, I think that's one of the most interesting components of this race is there's probably 6 candidates or so who are at the very least competitive, if not out in front. Barbara Letalian, Dan Coe, Lori Trahan, Rufus Gifford, Juana Matias, and Alexandra Chandler is probably there in the mix as well. But this could really go one of a whole bunch of different ways when we hit the primary date on September 4th.
Has it been difficult for these candidates to try and differentiate themselves?
Yeah, I think that it has because they all agree on very, very many policy points. So it's been a little hard for them to differentiate themselves on that, and it's come down more to personality and background experience. Almost every candidate in this race has come out firmly in support of a single-payer healthcare system. There's a lot of agreement on, you know, making community college tuition free. So there hasn't really been an issue, as you put it, that's caught fire and has separated candidates. The one that they seem to be sparring most over is money and the role of money in politics. And that's really only taken shape in the past few weeks as the election draws closer and they start to go after one another.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about money. You broke down the recent campaign contributions in this race. At the top was Boston Mayor Marty Walsh's former chief of staff, Dan Coe. He had almost $3 million. Behind him, at around $1 million each, are former Democratic National Committee Finance Director Rufus Gifford and consulting firm executive Lori Trahan. Has having money made a difference in this crowded field, and why?
You know, it's pretty standard political science rule of thumb that the more money you have, the more name recognition you're able to acquire for yourself. But at the same time, what's been one of the most fascinating aspects of this is that the money hasn't exactly separated out one or two front runners. You know, you think back to when this race first started, Dan Coe came out of the very first fundraising quarter with an $800,000 haul, which was $600,000 more than anyone else. And we all thought at the time that that would kind of send a warning shot to other potential candidates and scare people away thinking that he just had too many resources. And that clearly has not been the case at all because we've now got a ballot with 10 people on it.
Has there been an institutional advantage for two of the other people on your list of top 6, the two candidates who are in state government, State Representative Juana Matias and State Senator Barbara Letalian?
You know, they have had voters in this 3rd district race cast ballots for them before, and that's an advantage that you can't buy no matter how much money you have. That being said, it clearly hasn't been enough to separate them out as the two front runners at this point, so it'll be really interesting to see if that experience and that familiarity is enough to clinch them the election.
The other person on your top list, Alexandra Chandler, is a former naval intelligence analyst who also happens to be a transgender woman. What's pumping her up in this race?
You know, she's really been driven by grassroots support. She's actually among candidates who have raised $100,000 or more. She's relying the most on small dollar donations. The median donation to her campaign, according to her campaign, is $27. And she's also got the largest percentage of her campaign money comes from donors that gave $200 or less, which is a real contrast to some of the other front runners, particularly Dan Coe, Rufus Gifford, and Lori Trahan, who are all relying on about 50% of their campaign money coming from donations of $2,000 or more.
I want to ask about the other 4 people in this race. Bopa Malone, a bank executive, Beej Das, president and CEO of a hotel chain, Jeff Ballinger, who's a workers' rights activist, and Leonard Golder, an attorney. Do you think they have a chance?
You know, I think that their chances are significantly lower than the other 6. They've all worked very hard and have run, you know, completely legitimate campaigns, but I think that you know, just based on the fact that they're significantly farther behind in money and seemingly in volunteers or, you know, ground level organization, I think that they do face an uphill battle.
Whoever wins this faces the lone Republican candidate, businessman Rick Green, in the fall. This district has traditionally been a Democratic district. Is it an uphill fight for Rick Green, no matter who's chosen on the other side?
Rick Green has raised a good amount of money. He's raised about $780,000 through the end of June, which certainly gives him the resources to run a full and substantial campaign. He's got a big footprint in the district. You know, he's the founder of co-founder of 1A Auto, which is a huge company, all of which is pretty much contained here inside the 3rd District. So I think he will be a competitive candidate, but I think given the voting history of this district, that it's gone for Democratic representatives for decades, and especially in this 2018 midterm election, I think that you know, Rick Green just might face circumstances that are too much not in his favor to pull off an upset here.
Chris Lisinski, reporter for the Lowell Sun, who's covering this race in the 3rd Congressional District. Thanks a lot for speaking to WBUR's Morning Edition, and good luck going to the end.
Thanks, Bob. My pleasure.